God laid a few words in my mind here this afternoon, and it just kept on until I seen that this is what God wants, I believe, tonight. James chapter 1, we're going to read 15 verses of it, and then we're going to go through it. Powerful lot of word in James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Number 10, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to him that love him. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14 and 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Well, I want us to look at and see here, we're dealing with a lot of words in here, but one is temptation, another and count it all joy, and different things that we're going to deal with. And it says here in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation. Now, I want you to notice there's divers temptation. That means different kinds of temptation. We know this, that there's so many things that can tempt people today. They can be tempted to do this and tempted to do that and tempted to do something else. But what does he say here about these temptations? These temptations, it's a lot of folks say, that bothers them, that's something that brings them down, it's something that makes them not feel good, but that ain't what James said. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation. Count it what? All joy when you fall in diverse temptation. So we're to count it all joy. Now, if we count it all joy, and there's so many different temptations, diverse temptations, well, that we can fall into, and we count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptation, we ought to just be ha-ha all the time. How many is that? If you count it all joy, and there's so many temptations, there's temptations on every corner, there's temptations on every direction, there's every kind of a temptation you can think of in the world today. But he says if we'll count it all joy when we fall into these diverse temptations, count it joy. In other words, we're supposed to rejoice through the temptation. That takes us through the temptation. It doesn't get us stuck in the temptation. We just begin to say, well, hallelujah. We're going to rejoice in this temptation. We're going to rejoice in this trial. We're going to come forth victorious. So if people were doing exactly what this verse right here said, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, they'd be a lot more happy people today, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they be more rejoicing? Because the trial has come. Satan has come to visit with his temptation. We have counted it all joy. We are victorious over it. And we can laugh while other people are bound. We're rejoicing in this thing. I mean, see where I'm coming from. This is a different angle at it than I've ever preached it even before. And it said, verse 3 said, then we know something. We count this all joy when we fall in this divers temptation. And we know this. We got to knowing this. I want you to know, he said, knowing this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So the trying of our faith works patience. So when our faith is tried, when we're tempted, we count it all joy. And when we fall in divers temptation, we count it all joy. But when we are needing some patience, we know this, that the trying of our faith works this patience. It works this patience in who? In us. Individually, it works the patience. How many knows patience is a very important thing in our life? And of course, joy is, we know that. But it seems like the temptation comes and then we count it all joy. And then in verse 3, it tells us this, that we know something. We know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It works that patience in us. God wants us to be patient. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. We're supposed to be patient till he comes. The next thing that we want to look at in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Perfect work. That ye may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I'm going to tell you, those are great promises. Let patience have that perfect work. While we're going through, while our faith is being tried and it's working patience, we have to let that patience have her perfect work in us, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. How many wants to be perfect? How many wants to be entire? You don't want nothing. You don't want for anything. That's what he's saying here. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So here we've already covered three things. We ought to be full of joy when we're tempted. We ought to know something when we're the trying of our faith, that it's going to work patience. And we'll need to let that patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So what have we got to grumble with? What have we got to grouch around about? We should have joy. We should have the patience. We should let the patience have its perfect work in us. And we need to let that patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we've got people that's got all kinds of temptation, but where's their joy? We're supposed to rejoice through temptation, through trial, through test. We're supposed to let the patience have its perfect work, wanting nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, now he goes into wisdom, the source of wisdom, it says here. The value of, and up here at the top on the side note of my Bible, King James Version, study Bible, it says, up here where it says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, it says, the value of trials. How many knows that every trial that you go through, every test you go through, is valuable to you? Valuable to you. It's valuable to me. Do I like them? No. But I've learned to rejoice through them, all the trials. Somehow or other, get a hold of God. The joy is in the Lord. Let patience have her perfect work. Verse 4. That you may be perfect the entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5. If any man lack wisdom. Now here's where the source of wisdom comes from. Everybody ought to desire wisdom. Somebody said wisdom and knowledge is the same thing. No. Wisdom tells us how to use knowledge. If we haven't got wisdom, we can't use the knowledge that we have. But wisdom tells us how to use knowledge. Verse 5 said, if any of you lack wisdom, where do you go? You go to somebody? No. You don't ask somebody about wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, God is not stingy with wisdom. If we're without wisdom, it's our own fault, because listen what the next part of this said. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men what? Liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, if a man wants wisdom, that's be a woman too. If anyone lacks wisdom, if he asks of God, it says God will give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He's not stingy with wisdom. Every Christian ought to have more wisdom. I'm searching for more wisdom. You should be searching for more wisdom. Every Christian should be searching for more wisdom. Solomon asked God for wisdom when he was young and taking over the leadership of Israel. He asked for more wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom how to lead these people. Everybody needs to ask for wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? It's something that tells us the values of the things that we need, and we stay in there with patience until we receive the values of these things. Now, the trial tests our faith. How many knows that? So verse 6 tells us something here. If we ask for wisdom, and God gives it liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But verse 6, but let him ask how? Ask in faith. Now it's our faith that's being tried. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So we got to have a faith that with nothing wavering. Let's look at what's built up here in 6 verses that you can have, and I can have, we can have. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. We ask in faith, nothing wavering. For if we waver with our faith, we're like the wave of the sea that's driven with the wind and it's tossed. I don't like being tossed around, do you? But we ask in faith. Here we got wisdom, we got faith involved here, and we got patience involved. He starts off with knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and we have the joy that we should be counting for temptation. We've got a pretty good package of stuff here right now. So then we come on to verse 7. That man that's wavering, that man that's not asking for wisdom, that man that is not asking in faith, and nothing wavering. Verse 7, for let not that man that's wavering, that man that's being tossed about with the wind, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That person will receive absolutely nothing. He says, zero. He shall not receive anything of the Lord. Nothing. If I'm going to serve God, I want to receive something from him, don't you? So we've got a pretty good progress report here of how to do these things. And that man shall not receive anything of the Lord. Then he comes on to verse 8 and he says, a double-minded man is unstable in how many of his ways? He's unstable in all of his ways. We can't have a mind to do this today and a mind to do something else tomorrow, and we can't be double-minded. We can't be carnal today and spiritual tomorrow. A double-minded man is absolutely unstable in all his ways. And I used to wonder about this one, and I began to watch people that were double-minded, and I found them to be, through 55 years in the ministry, that these people are unstable in how many of their ways? In all their ways. They're the kind that really will tempt you. They're on fire one day. You ever see people in church that just get on fire today, and 2 days later, they're clear down dragging in the mud? Does that encourage you? Huh? He's unstable in all of his ways. And you begin to watch, he's unstable in all of his ways because he's double-minded. How many knows we got to get rid of the carnal mind and yield to the spiritual mind? That's what faith is all about. And then it says, verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. And he's of a low degree, but let him rejoice that he's exalted. And this whole thing is about latching a hold of faith, counting it all joy when we fall in divers temptation, knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience, And then let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect in the entire wanting nothing. And if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and to let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven about with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he's going to receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. Look what a pattern here of growth that we have in James chapter 1. What a growth pattern there. Well, the brother of low degree needs to rejoice in that he is exalted. Then he's got a word for the rich man. I don't think that'll bother any of us. But let the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. So let the rich man, in that he is made low, the brother of low degree rejoices that he's exalted. The rich man, let him rejoice because he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. How many knows it? You know, it's hard to understand that, but you know, just because a man's rich doesn't mean he's not going to die. Hebrews 9:27 said, and as it is appointed once to man to die, and after this, the judgment. So it's appointed to man once to die. It doesn't make any difference if we're rich. It doesn't make any difference if we're poor. It doesn't make any difference if we're a low degree or if we're a higher degree. We've got to meet that appointment, and we better be ready for that appointment, because it's appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his way. So there's another scripture that comes to my mind right now, where these appointments that man has doesn't make any difference who he is, how high, how low. He's like the flower. The sun comes up. It shines on everything. And the flower thereof falleth, and the grace and the fashion of it perisheth, so shall the rich man fade away in his way. So we're getting a pattern here. There's different things that we're dealing with. The source of wisdom, the unwavering faith. Faith is essential. The value of trials. And the theme of this whole thing is a special doctrinal theme. Good works. Good works. What does Acts of the Apostles say? Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing how many? All that were oppressed of the devil. Now, when we're tempted, let's go back and just rehearse a little bit on this temptation. Brethren, count it all joy when falling divers temptation. Now, as I said before, lots of folks are really tempted, and everybody's tempted. I mean, people will tempt you. There's divers temptation. They'll try to make you angry, make you say, I remember when I first got saved, you know, people would try to get me angry, so I would say something, curse word, something anger, something like that. They would try that. Why would they try that? I was being tempted. It took me a little while to catch on to that. The trial of your faith worketh patience. We have to let patience have that perfect work, that we be perfect in the entire wanting nothing. So let's go to verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. See, this is a whole lot about temptation. And we have to learn to endure temptation. We don't like it, but we have to learn to deal with it. And the way you deal with it, you don't get rid of it, you endure it. People will test you. They'll speak evil with you. And then there's something that'll raise up in you, and or me, or whoever, if we don't watch it, and you say, well, I'll tell them a piece of my mind. Well, that's just exactly what you don't do. You count it all joy. If there's anything that makes the devil mad, is while he's trying to tempt you, is you rejoicing. How in the world are you going to do anything with somebody that's shouting the victory? Brother Holt said one time, I remember he said, how are you going to teach anybody anything when they're shouting the victory all the time? They're shouting, they're rejoicing. Count it all joy when you fall in these divers temptations. You know something. knowing this, that the trying of your faith works that patience in you. And let that patience have its perfect work, that you may perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This chapter here is written for us how to overcome so many things if we could just absorb it. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Why? For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. That's your way to the crown of life. When you're tried, when you endure temptation, when you're tried, you receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I think of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. The crown of righteousness is laid up for us if we follow this pattern right here. The man that endures temptation. If he can't endure temptation, let's go back. Now, I want you to get your Bible and look at it. If he can't endure temptation, verse 12, he can't count it all joy in verse 2, can he? So he's stuck. Huh? I want this to get. So if a person can't endure temptation and pass on to that counting it all joy, and he's not enduring this, he's stuck with verse 2, and he'll never get any further till he gets through that. How many knows that serving God is steps? And if he's stuck there, he'll never get any further unless he knows this, that the trying of his faith works patience. And if he can't get, let the trying of his faith work patience, he is stuck right there with that verse. I know people that's been stuck on certain things for 40 years, and you can't get them to move out of it. Good people. They go to church, they pay their tithes, they rejoice in the Lord, but they need to get a little bit further, deeper into this and get out of the things that's bogging them down. But they have times when they're tempted and they're tried and they get all down in the dumps. This is the formula where we keep the victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So blessed is that man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Can you see the difference in this person here? He's talking about a man, or a person in other words. But let not that man think he's going to receive anything. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's dealing with this here, and he's telling how man can progress all the way down the line and come into the power of God, the crown of life, the joy of the Lord, the peace of mind, the wisdom of God, the faith in God, get out of the double-minded thing, get exalted in the things of the Lord. So then we come on down to verse 13. Here's where temptation comes from. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Let no man say that he is tempted of God. God doesn't tempt. Where does the temptation come from? It's a satanic spirit or somebody that's used in a satanic spirit that tempts and tries, tempts people and then tries them. And let no man say that he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14, but every man is tempted. Here's how a man is tempted. He used man in all this here. Of course, that means everybody. But every man is tempted when? When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now that could be the love of money, lust of money. That could be the lust of the flesh. That could be all these kind of things. A man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. In other words, he gets his mind on something that he needs or thinks he needs, something that he wants, and he will not get his mind off of it. He's drawn away of his own lust, and he's enticed. So when this happens, verse 14, when he's enticed, drawn away of his own lust, and then verse 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When lust is conceived, play around with lust until it's conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So when it bringeth forth sin, then when it brings forth sin, what happens to us? We have to go right back, clear back to the beginning of this chapter and work our way through these different things. I mean, he's getting this picture. If you lose it here, you haven't got what you gained. Huh? You know, we can lose what we've got. How many have ever seen somebody that lost it all in just a few days, weeks, or months? That, to me, is one of the most grievous things that could be. Somebody that maybe is a minister, strong person in the Lord, everybody has the confidence in them, everybody believes that they're just right, and they allow themselves to be drawn away of their own lust, and they allow themselves to be enticed, and they fall. How far do we fall when we fall? We fall all the way. God's not going to help you. The devil's not going to help you. People's not going to help you. So every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, that we should be like him. I can't get away from this describing here of how you go from step one to step two to step three to step four. And all that time you're gaining ground. You're climbing a mountain. You're gaining ground. Let's just walk through that again. When we count it all joy, when we fall into temptation, we've made a step. We rejoice in temptation. Why? Because we know, verse 3, we know what's coming. That the trying of our faith worketh, what? Patience. We know that the work trying of our faith works patience. So that's another step. And then we know, but let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's another step. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Big step. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Big step. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. He's stuck. He's not going to receive anything. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, look at it like this, like walking up a hill, or you're climbing a mountain, or you're gaining ground, and you can't afford to lose, and you follow this pattern. It's like 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter gives us steps there of growth in the Lord and all these things, and it's, to me, they're the keys of the kingdom. And here we find here that we can lose it all in one time. We can keep on making steps. Lose no ground. Hang on to what you've got. Keep climbing that mountain. Just climb the mountain by following these steps, because patience is going to be valuable to us. All these things are going to be valuable to us. Trials are valuable to us. Wisdom is valuable to us. Unwavering faith is very valuable. Outward circumstances, changeable. These things, all these things that's listed here, sources of temptation. Remember what it is. Count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation. All the sources of, sit down and write down all the sources that you can be tempted by. And then start with this. Bring yourself in this picture right here. Where are you at? Have you counted it all joy when you're in diverse temptation? Have you come to the place that you know that the trying of your faith works patience, so you just work your way on through that? And let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect in the entire wanting nothing. That's a big step. That's the thing that God has laid out for us here in James chapter 1. Remember who James was. James was the pastor of the big church in that day in Jerusalem. He had a lot to say about different things that the church needs today. I suppose he had all kinds of things that he was dealing with. No doubt he did. Being the first one to die. He was the first one that was killed. All right. We're going to quit right here.